Thankful for those messages this morning. Did you notice how those songs went together? I don't know if they talked to each other ahead of those specials or not, but I'm kind of thinking maybe they didn't. But that's just like the Lord. If you're here today and you have a special need in your heart that maybe you've been laboring under and you've been wondering, am I alone in this? Does God know? Does He care? I believe He's tried to answer that for you this morning with those two specials. The Lord sends messages in different ways. Thank you. That's all I am this morning, is endeavoring to be a messenger. I'm not the Word. I'm a human being that needs a lot of help, just like everybody here. And the Lord's called me to be a messenger, and I want to be faithful in that. I'd like to write the title of the message on the board. Spelled that wrong. I've written on the board how to occupy. Last Sunday was inspired to deliver a message with an exhortation that Jesus Christ felt was so important to deliver in the little bit of time that He had during the time of His ministry. And that was where He said to occupy until I come. That was an exhortation to all of us to occupy, to be about our Father's business, to make His business our business, and to take the gospel. Remember, we read the story, the parable of the talent that was given. And in that case, that particular parable, it was the talent of the gospel that had been given, that we all are receiving this morning. We're hearing the gospel message. And the Lord wants us all today to take the gospel and then take the individual talents that He gives to you, your life, your resources, the gifts that maybe He gave you in life, the environment that He put you in. Really, to say it in another way that simplifies it, that defines the talent that He gave to us, it's your life. Your life as a whole. And the Lord said, take that and couple it with the gospel that I've given you, and occupy until I come. Make that your business. Until I come and separate the just from the unjust. Until I come and separate the wheat from the tares. Occupy. And be faithful with my business. Be a light to the world. That through your life, I may be able to reach other people and minister to their souls by the Holy Spirit that works through each of the individual lives that I have called to do my business. And it was then and it is today. It is a very personal exhortation to us all. And it's doable. Every one of us can do it by the grace of God. One day at a time, by the grace of God, we can do this. And it bears repeating before we get started with the main burden this morning, that don't give in to the temptation of comparing yourselves to each other, endeavoring, trying, desiring to be an ingredient that God has not made you. But understand that God does everything perfectly right. And He has a perfectly right place for you. It's a very special, powerful, impactful, life-changing ingredient that He has put in you. And that if you'll allow Him to use you as He has called you to be, you can have an impactful life experience. You may not always recognize it. You may look around and not understand what good you're doing. Leave that to the shepherd. We spent some time last Sunday reflecting on the garden space that God has put us in, the field to be stewards of, and how that your life impacts so many other people in so many other ways for so many generations in ways that often we just don't understand. And maybe it was a confusing look, so I'll do the confusing look on the board again. Give you a second bite at the apple. If this is your garden, this is your life. God made you here. Everybody else, He gave them a place. But this is you, just like you are. And He has called you to grow in Him and to be stewards of the gospel that He's given you and to use the talents that He's given you in your garden and in your life. You have a sphere of influence with your family, with your neighbors, with those at work, with those that you come in contact with. To all of us here in this congregation, you impact us. You impact my life. You impact the lives of other people. And they have their garden space. See, all these people have their garden space too. And it intersects yours. And the life that you live and the seeds that you sow, the fruit that you bear, it impacts other people's lives. And they take what they get from you and they work it in their garden. And then there's people that intersect their lives that maybe you don't intersect. But you intersected their life, you impacted their life, and they impacted their life, and the generations continue. And this goes on and on and on and on. And my great-grandpa never knew who I was. But he had a big impact on my life. He didn't know it, but he did. He had a great impact on my family's life. He didn't know them, but he did. And you're no exception. Your life matters. You matter. You personally matter. You say, well, I don't know. I don't know what I do that matters. Jesus said, you matter. And He said, I've given you the gospel. He's given you the gospel. Gave us a parable and delivered the gospel. And He said, now go and take your individual life. You can put your name down here. This is you. And He said, this is your life. And I've given you some gospel. And I've given you some talents. I've given you some resources. Given you an environment to work in your life. Now, occupy until I come. And we read the verse in Ephesians that said, see then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Because one of these days, your life's going to end, and you're not going to be here anymore. But all these people will be, if time continues. And these people's lives are here, and you have an impact on them. And so the Lord said, listen, this is important. You occupy. Be faithful. Walk circumspectly. Be careful with the decisions that you make. Well, oftentimes we have a question, and that is, yeah, but I hear you. I kind of get your scribbles, maybe up here. I get it in principle, but how do I practically occupy? What does that mean for me? When I get up in the morning and when I go through the day and go to bed at night, what does it mean for me to occupy so that I'm doing what God wants me to do? You may know what you want to do, but what does God want me to do? Have you ever had that question? Have you ever wondered what your place is in the body? Have you ever thought that, well, I just don't feel like I know. I've struggled. All these years have passed. I've endeavored to be saved, but I just don't know my place. Just not sure what God wants. I mean, am I the only one? Haven't you thought that before? Well, I believe this morning that God doesn't want us to overcomplicate His purpose for us. And He doesn't want His purpose for us to be elusive, where it's hard to find and hard to define, and we're not sure. The enemy would like to do that because he would like to paralyze you into inaction and feel like you're not sure what your purpose is. So Jesus saw all of that, and there was one day that He knew that the message that He preached to the multitudes that gathered would be read over and over again, and that it was going to be important for us to understand how He wanted us to occupy. And so, in the 5th chapter of Matthew, and the first verse, He said, "Seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying." So now He went and He taught the disciples. And He went up into the mountains and He saw the multitudes. And there was another day that He fed the multitudes because they were hungry. And He cared about them. And He cared about their needs in life, not just their physical needs. He cared about their spiritual needs. And He wanted to make sure that they had what they needed to know how to occupy. And so you don't get very far in Matthew. I turn 2 pages and I get to Matthew 5. And He opened His mouth and He taught them, saying, "Multitude, you'll be divided up into prophets, pulpit evangelists, pastors, lectern, teachers. Others of you, highly visible, charismatic influencers of my word." Has anybody read that in Sermon on the Mount before? I've never read that before. It's because it's not here. That's man's words. You see what I'm saying? That's what we can tell ourselves. Well, what place does the Lord have for me? And we think of these things that as man would think that, well, maybe that's the most important thing. No, here's what He taught. This begins to define for all of us how to occupy. He said, "Occupy until I come." How to occupy? "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The poor in spirit. "Blessed are they that mourn and recognize their need and care about the welfare of others, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Those are the ones that will see God. The pure in heart, the peacemakers, the merciful, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. The poor in spirit, Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, and men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Well, there were those that were persecuted to the death. We may not be persecuted with crucifixion and stripes. I hope we're not. We might, hope not. But when we live for God and we occupy and we're faithful with the gospel, you're going to be different. You're not going to be the same. Your priorities are going to be different from many in the world. Your affection is going to be on things that is oftentimes different from where the world's affection is. Yes, we're going to look different sometimes. We're going to act different. We're going to respond differently. We're going to choose different places to go. And we're going to feel the separation. And it's not easy, oftentimes, to be different, to feel different, to feel like sometimes we're being left behind. Sometimes in our careers, you know, we feel like, well, to those that have given themselves to their careers to be responsible, where there's this temptation to continue to grow and to move up and to get higher places. And I was told when I was a young person, a faithful brother minister told me one time walking along the road, he said, listen, he said, one of these days you may have an opportunity for that, for the big promotion, the big one. He said, but the problem is that promotion is going to take you away from this. It's going to take you away from God's people. It's going to take you away from being able to worship with the people of God. And he did this. He said, don't do it. Don't do it. Do this. And sometimes that's hard when you're feel the influence and the pressure to move up and to be recognized. And we draw back and we say no. And that can affect us in so many different ways in life, where maybe we feel like we're set apart. But Jesus said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for in like manner did they persecute the prophets, the ones that came before you. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven, he said, in one place. And he went on and he said, you are the salt of the earth. Who's the salt of the earth? Who's he talking about? The people that do these things. That's the people that are the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth, the ones where he said, let your light so shine before men. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. So let your light shine so that others can see me. See your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Who's he talking about? He's talking about those that are faithfully occupying until he comes. Who is it that's faithfully occupying? The people that are doing these things. Did not mean it to be complicated. He wanted it to be very understandable. And we can all do this. God put it within our power by His grace for every single one of us to faithfully occupy doing these things. Well, what else did He teach us? We don't have a lot of time this morning, so what I'm going to do is, if you'll allow me, I'm going to paraphrase quickly the essence of some of what he was teaching. There could be a message preached on every one of these verses, and my intent is not to exhaustively look at these verses, but that we get a flavor that our purpose, our how to occupy, it's not intended to be complicated. It's right here. Verse 20, for I say unto you that except Your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. God wants from us something. He wants our heart. He wants your heart. He wants to be able to speak to your heart. He wants you to have something more than just that appeals to other people around you, to impress everyone around you with how spiritual and how religious you are. Well, does he want us to have fruit? Yes, he just got finished saying that we're the light of the world. But he wants us to have an experience from our heart. Verse 22, don't with contempt call people fools and idiots and graceless wretches. And you're just worthless. He said, don't do that. God wants us to recognize that we are in so much need of God ourselves. And he wants us to be merciful to other people and be careful how we categorize and what we call other people. Verse 23, when you come before God and you want to do the work of the Lord and you want to sow seed and you want to give up a sacrifice to God and you remember, you bow down before God and you remember that somebody has ought against you. It didn't say, and you remember that you have ought against somebody else. This verse says, and you remember, I think, aren't I getting that right? Isn't that what it says? That bringest thy gift before the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath ought against you, to leave your sacrifice and to go and try to be reconciled to your brother, to your sister. And sometimes we say, well, I don't have a problem. It's their problem, not my problem. I didn't do anything wrong. They're the ones that are in the wrong. I'm doing just exactly what I don't have anything to apologize for. But that's not what this said. This said that if you remember that your brother, your sister, your neighbor, your coworker, a family member, you know that they've got a problem with you, with something, do what you can do to be reconciled. You leave your sacrifice to God at the altar. Go do whatever you can do to try to be reconciled and then come back and offer up your sacrifice before God. Christian living. Verse 27 and 28, don't commit adultery. And Jesus took it even further. He said, don't even do it in your heart. Don't do that. Marriage is representative of Christ's union with the church. And it was never intended to be broken. And the Lord looks at our hearts. It goes way beyond just the outward. But the Lord wants us to be pure in heart. And He wants us to look to Him and, Lord, help me to be true. Help me to be pure. Lord, help me to be representative of the body of Christ and my relationship with you, that as other people look on and the things that are in my life that are intended to be a representation of what you want me to understand, that I do it faithfully. Verse 29 and 30, if something that is in your life that maybe otherwise isn't sinful, it's a hobby, it's an activity, it's something that on its own isn't sinful, and yet it's getting between you and the Father, be willing to set it aside. He likened it, if your eye offend you, pluck it out. If your hand offend you, cut it off. Well, he doesn't actually mean to get a saw and cut your hand off or pluck your eye out. But he's talking about those things that are of great importance to you in your life. My hand is very important to me. My eye is. I value it. I love it. There's nothing wrong with it. But if there's something in your life that you love and you want but you find out that it's getting in the way of this. It's getting in the way of me occupying faithfully the business of the Lord, Not the business that's going to pass away when the Lord comes back. Yes, we're involved with some of that business. But the Lord said, most of all, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And make sure that you don't allow anything in your life to get in between. That's why we don't say, well, the Bible doesn't say that it's sin. It doesn't say here. I don't find any scripture that says I can't do that. But it does say, seek first. Do whatever you have to do to make sure that you protect your relationship with Jesus Christ. And if that means setting aside things that maybe other people don't need to set aside. That's why we have to be careful about judging other people. That when I set aside something, that doesn't mean that I then come and say, y'all, it's a more spiritual thing for everybody to set this thing aside because the Lord showed me I needed to set this aside. He may not be asking you to set it aside. He asked me to set it aside because it was affecting how I occupied. Verses 33 through 37, keep your word. Christians, keep your word. Be honest. Don't swear. That's what it says. Let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. In other words, be careful with your words. Be careful what you say. And when you tell somebody that you're going to do something, do everything you can to follow through with your word. Let's be men and women of our word. Verses 38 through 43, you've heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite you on the right cheek, turn to him the other. And if somebody sues you at the law and takes your coat away, let him have your cloak. And if he says, I want you to go a mile, go two. The Lord's not asking us to be in bondage to things that He's not in, but He is sending a very clear message that He is asking us to do good to those that do evil to us. He didn't say, only do good to those that deserve it. Do good unto your enemies. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And this gets close. It gets close to me, and I'm sure it gets close to you, because you don't feel like doing good to your enemies. You don't feel like turning your cheek. You don't feel like going above and beyond when you feel like you're being taken advantage of. But Jesus said, you're the light of the world. I want to show the world my grace through your life, unmerited favor of God, and that I want them to be able to see me through the conduct of your life, and I want you to occupy and live that way until I come. May God help us. Chapter 6 and chapter 7. Chapter 6 is pray to God and make Him first in your life. Jesus taught us how to pray, Lord God, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, would you have mercy on me? Lord, take my life, use me as you would like to use me. Lord, help me to recognize that you are the creator and that I'm the created. Lay up treasures in heaven. Make that your focus. Make that your priority. Laying up treasures in heaven. Setting your affection on things above rather than things on the earth. Yes, I have a house. I have a car. I have things. And they're all going to burn up. And they're going to mean nothing. And the Lord is not going to say, Rod, what kind of house did you live in? How well did you do with your business? It has its place. But that's not the business that the Lord is in. And He's going to come back. And I'm going to have to give an account on how I occupied with His business. And so He said, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Build your life on a rock. Jesus, make your life about Jesus. Come to where you can get in contact with Jesus. Listen and hear what He has to say. And then apply it to your life and do it. And when you do that, the storms are going to come in life that we talked about earlier today. life is going to bring hard places. And when it does, if we live this way, your house will stand. Chapter 7, we're almost done. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, with the requirements that you lay out for others, it shall be meted to you again. Folks, let's be so careful in how we judge other people. We can look at other people's lives and we can say, oh, that's not right. Oh, the Bible says you shouldn't do that. Oh, they're not as spiritual as they should be. Oh, there's a hypocrite if there ever was one. Be careful. Well, they should know better. They've been saved for a long time, yet here they are claiming to be saved and still doing that. Jesus said, judge not. Be careful. Doesn't mean that we won't know people by their fruits. Jesus said that too. Two verses right behind each other in the Sermon on the Mount. You'll know them by their fruits. By their fruits ye shall know them. Yes, but may God help us not to judge the motives of other people. May God help us not to judge their heart. May God help us to be careful in how we judge, lest it be judged against us. Paul said in the second chapter of Romans, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest, thou condemnest thyself. Because the things that you judge in, you're doing it yourself. Maybe a little bit different way. May have a little different, dressed a little bit differently, you know, where it doesn't look exactly the same. But same thing from the heart. It said, be careful. Paul instructs us that without love and charity, that everything else is like noise without substance. May God help us to live a life where we have love. And the only way we're going to have love is if we have a relationship with God. Because God is love. I can't profess love and not show love. And I can't show love, true love, if I don't have Christ in me. That's where it starts. Otherwise, I just turn people off. And that's why people leave churches. It's why people get disillusioned with religion. Because people say things, but then their lives tell a different story. And they don't show love, and they do judge, and they do condemn, and I don't mean, the Lord's not saying it's a free-for-all, everybody can just live however they want and it's okay with Him. My dad sent us a little marquee, picture of a little marquee that said, outside of a church, and it said, love everyone, and I'll sort them out later, God. That's our part, to love, to care, to show Jesus to people. Folks, what we've read today, this is how we occupy. This is what it means to occupy. We can all do this. And it's possible, maybe, that the Lord has something special that He asks you to do. And if He does have something else for you to do, He's a big enough God to let you know what that is. In the meantime, continue doing what you know to do is right and occupy faithfully. Mothers with your children, occupy. No greater responsibility in God's kingdom than to be a godly mother to your children when they're at home. And fathers, be faithful fathers, spiritual leaders, those that are at work in the workplace. You may be the only Jesus that people ever see, allowing His Spirit to come through your life. Congregants, to all of us. Let's faithfully occupy until He comes. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Pray for me. I want to be faithful to occupy. Amen.